Hello, everyone, and welcome to Discover Rising Tides, How the Outside Makes the Inside Better. My name is Jean Gallagher, and I am here with Denise Tagal, our longevity specialist. Hey, Denise.
Hi, Jean. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I feel great. It's a beautiful day. It's a little crisp. There's some coolness in the air, but it's beautiful. The sun is shining, and man, it feels good.
So I hear we're talking about embracing change, and this is fall. So that's a great time to talk about this and embracing change as a pathway to healthy living. Yes, lifestyle,
Yes.
healthy
Yeah. You
lifestyle.
know. With everything, you know, there's change everywhere. Change, change, change. There's songs about it. There are books about change. Change is inevitable. You're right. It's part of life. Just it is what it is. But I think what's really important for us to recognize is change is such a big, plays a big, big role in our growth, personal growth, and our well-being. You know, seasonal transitions are obviously the easiest things to notice and to recognize and really experience. But there's also, you know, personal challenges that we go through in life. New experiences, like when you're traveling, like, you know, if you stay in your house and live in the same place, you know, for 50 years and not go anywhere, you've not grown or experienced so many things that you can when you're traveling, and it could just be traveling to the next town. Those experiences change who you are, kind of ch even changes like your like brain chemistry. So to me, change makes life better, richer, more fulfilling and exciting. What are your thoughts?
There are times where change takes bravery too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the change can be the thought of change, depending on how much the change really is, the thought of change can be either really exciting or just create a non-action.
Yes. And that's kind of one of those things like, you know, a non-action, you know, no decision is really a decision, right?
Yeah,
And that
right.
non-action, what happens? We stay stagnant. You get stuck in a routine, especially routines that don't serve you anymore. And then that's when we start to feel, is this it? You know, life is boring. Well, how many times do, you know, people say, oh, I'm bored. There's so many things to do and experience. If you're bored, change things up.
I think too, when people are thinking about an exercise change or and there's that unknown of what if I can't do it, and that stepping into the unknown, even though an exercise change doesn't necessarily seem earth-shattering or life-changing, it definitely can be over the long term. But is it, I'm afraid to commit to something for, will I be able to stick with it? What if it doesn't work? And you go through all of these things in your head that stops you from taking that brave step forward to do the thing that's going to make such a big difference.
Right. And that's a mindset right there that we're thinking. Exercise, routine, physical activity, it's a must. We have to do this. It has to be difficult. It has to be hard. But what if we actually reevaluated, you know, physical activity? I hate the word exercise. I often use the word movement, right? We used to play. It used to be fun. So with the change of the seasons, why not change up your movement routine to exercise if that's what you like? I mean, this is something that I know you love, hiking in the woods in, you know, in the fall. I have friends who, you know, who live up in Denver and, you know, they hike all you know, through a good chunk of the winter. Now, that's not something I know I would do because I hate being cold. But, you know, we've talked about some of these things, you know, what about, you know, outdoor yoga? For some reason, people do that in the hot summer when it's 100 degrees. That's not fun. But you know what? When it's in the 70s and even in the 60s, you know, that to me is much
Anywhere.
more invigorating and enjoyable. Fun, bring enjoyable, bring joy, right? And that's a fun activity. That's not necessarily something like, think about it. If you go, now I know you have a yoga practice that you've had for many, many years. I don't know if I could call what I do a yoga practice. It's a couple of moves and, you know, but what for me, that gets me moving in the morning. It kind of, as I get older, it kind of gets the kinks out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You always feel better afterwards. The anticipation of what you have to go through sometimes will stop you, but it is that, then again, it's that thought process, the process that we all have to, we spend so much time in our heads. That 6 inches between our ears is can be so helpful, but also so detrimental to what really we should be doing. Let it go and make it happen. And
Exactly.
don't worry about such a that you're because you've done it once, it has to be a commitment. Give it a try.
Right. Make, you know, if it's something that's fun, and like you said, like try something new. Make it more of an adventure than a chore or you know, something that has to be done. This is a great time of year. So you know me, I love to be in the kitchen, and it is soup season. So change of season, change your, you know, change what you're eating, what you're putting on the table, what you're cooking. There is nothing like a delicious cup of homemade soup, literally to warm you from the inside out. And to me, it nourishes every part of me, my body, my mind, my spirit, because I love to cook. I love that whole process. And soups are easy. Lots of seasonal veggies. I mean, at this point, you know, I got tomatoes coming out of my ear. Tomatoes coming out of my ears. But, you know, in the summertime, I use those tomatoes, you know, in salads, you know, and usually we eat them raw. Well, in the fall, this is a great time to use those. And at this time of the year, they're starting to look a little funky, right? They're not as beautiful, look as pristine. Those are great to add into soups, into casseroles.
I'm sure you've seen it the on the socials. People are tossing all of the soup ingredients on a roasting pan, drizzling it with olive oil, salt and pepper, or whatever seasoning you want, and roasting it in the oven, and then taking it out and tossing it in the Vitamix, and then heating it up. And that's a great, easy way to, because I think for some people, soups are very basic, but they seem very complicated.
Yeah, because there's a lot of ingredients. You know,
Ingredient.
it's the butternut squash, it's the tomatoes, it's the well, you know, a mirepoix. You know, and that's one of the things just for people. I just said a French word. Something for people to realize that almost every soup base, you can make any soup from this base. Right? Onions, celery, carrots.
Starts.
I mean, like so much, I mean, most of French cooking is based on that. So soups don't have to be difficult. And I love the concept. I do love that concept of throwing things in the oven, you know, roasting. So you have this roasted veggie soup. But think about, you know, your roasted veggie soup this week could have butternut squash and kale. Next week, it could have, you know, tomatoes and maybe some beans. Throw some beans in there. We know they're packed with nutrients. And of course, the farmer's market this time of year is so different than it is in the middle of summer.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really directed towards soup as well because you're getting into the fall vegetables and it changes what you already said it just changes the mood.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, change your mood, change up, you know, change things up again. Again, we love, you know, I love change in this respect. Add these veggies, you know, more veggies to your diet. We know we should be eating more veggies. And think about it, this is just a great, satisfying way, you know, for especially for those people that go, oh, I don't want to have a salad again. You don't have to have a salad. Have a soup instead. What else? There was one other thing I wanted to talk about, change.
We got activity and movement,
Oh,
food.
social interaction. Shifting. Hold on, I'm not going to be able to say this. Shifting social interaction. I don't know who's having trouble there. You know, when the weather starts to get cool, and I know it's not cool every place right now. In Minnesota, it's starting. But we have different types of gatherings. You know, summers, you know, people have picnics and they're in the pool and doing all those kinds of things. But this time of year, these are really fun, It's a really fun time to be able to have people over, sit in front of the fire pit and really just connect. It's such a different feeling than, Fourth of July get-togethers. It's much calmer. It's much
Oh,
more
that's a good
thoughtful.
point. Yes. I didn't really think about it until you mentioned it because 4th of July, crazy summer celebration. And yes, it's getting
Absolutely.
ready because once you get into winter, things are supposed to slow down. It's the season of hibernation. Your garden hibernates. You need to slow down too, and it gives you an opportunity to recoup, recharge.
So, with autumn, we're not in complete winter, we're not in winter yet. So this is, again, it's a change, it's a transition. Thank goodness that winter is only 3 months, right? Unless you're here, it could be a lot more in Minnesota. It depends. But again, the seasons change, and there's a rhythm to life. And if we embrace that, it's so much more fulfilling. And I love the fall. It's football season. Oh, I don't have my purse here. It's football season. Yay! I love college football. What a great time to, bring some friends together, watch a game, have some really yummy, healthy snacks. And you can do that without it being just, oh, here's a crudité dip. And be creative. So, I think, food and social interactions go together. So let's, kind of foster great relationships, maybe grow some new relationships, and find a new way, a more exciting, different way, to interact with people who you may not have seen, people that you even see on a regular basis. Maybe you see them, at work, or it's your spouse. But see, having these different types of social interactions will actually grow those relationships.
Stop and have a cup of coffee with them.
Stop and have a cup of coffee.
Initiate the
Yes.
invite.
So I just yesterday. So this will be my last piece here. Yesterday, it was really chilly in the morning. I put on my fluffy robe that I wear maybe six times a year, grabbed my blanket and my journal, and I went outside and turned on the fire table. That crisp air felt invigorating. Now, I do my morning meditations outside on a regular basis, but this was different. And it was uplifting. Like my journal writing was more flowy, and I don't know, it just had a very different feel to it. And I'm excited by that because it made me realize how much I was actually looking forward to this change.
That's nice. So thank you, Denise. Fall, change, and pick one thing. Make a change.
Make a change. Make some soup.
Thanks, Denise.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Jean Gallagher, Discover Rising Tides, and I want to just take a moment to talk about my friend, Denise Segal. I am honored to call her as a friend, and I'm so grateful that she gives us her insight during our shows, each show, and talks about healthy living, eating real food. You hear Denise say, "Eat real food," a lot. Well, she means it, and she knows what she's talking about. She is an amazing healthy living coach, curator at Living Healthy List. And if you ever have any questions about what is real food? Why does it matter? How does that apply to me? How do I change? What do I need to do? How do I even create a healthy living shopping list? Make sure that you call her. She is your healthy living coach, and you can find her at healthylivinglist.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Discover Rising Tides, how the outside makes the inside better. My name is Jean Gallagher, your host, and I'm so glad that you're here with us today. And I have the pleasure of introducing Jan Tallon to you. Hello, Jan, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you? Glad to be here.
Very well, thank you. Oh, I'm so glad to have you. I'm excited for our conversation. And before we get started, Jan, give us a little quick if you can, or an abbreviated version of your bio or however you'd like to introduce yourself, and then we'll get started.
Righty. I have several places in my life that I thoroughly enjoy, and that's what we're going to talk about. I thoroughly enjoy helping married couples become better married. I love kiddos and I love helping parents love their kiddos well and good. I love the outdoor space. So I like, and I particularly like water when it's not raining. I like snow. I don't really, not a fan of rain. I get it. We need it, but not my biggest fan. So I like to water ski. I like to snowboard. I like to ice skate. I like to pull children tubing. I don't really like to tube. But I do like to sail and I like all kinds of whatever floats in the water. I like them. And so that gets to be outdoor space and play space. And otherwise I enjoyed my parenting years, at least what I remember of them, because some of it's just a blur. Marriage has been one of those things that you grow into. And so I have known the man I'm married to for almost 50 years. Been married 47.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It was like that feels so weird.
It does feel really strange to say we've been married for 42, and I don't even understand how that's happened.
So
I don't,
what happened, right?
how could we even be old enough for that to happen? Because we were
Yes, that
12 when
is
we got
exactly
married.
the question. Yes. So enjoyed raising four kiddos and they all got married. So now I think that I have eight adult children. And I have 11 grandchildren.
Oh, that's fantastic. And going back to what you were saying about the weather, I love how that you say that you don't like water that falls from the sky.
I like it if it's snow, but
Right, that's true. Yeah, it's, if it's super wet.
yeah.
And so tell me about, I'm going to get to the outside part too, because it's really important and I think it ties such a nice bow around what you're talking about. But also tell us a little bit about you and your business.
My business came out of me being a marriage and family therapist for over 35 years, working in private practice. and I love those conversations. Work days were not hard days for me. I came home happy. I had often seen 12 or 13 clients, but I was good. As I sort of grew older, shh, don't tell anybody I grew older, but that happened. And I began to realize that I was tired of talking to the married couple who had been married 15 to 25 years and they were divorcing. And their children are shocked because they look like the perfect couple. And in my world, this was repairable. But in their world, they had been hanging on to this marriage since they had children. They were exhausted. It was new news to me as a therapist. And I looked at it and said, "This is fixable." They were like, "We're out of energy. We're done." Their adult children were ticked because they were going to follow the marriage of their mom and dad. It looked good. And now it's a sham. So I started digging into the research of some of this. What is this? And I just had never done the research. It's not like it's not out there. The research says if we don't figure out how to be married within the first 5 years of parenting, we begin to have cracks and fissures in our relationship. And one person picks the marriage route, the other person picks the parenting route. You go along parallel to each other, but you aren't connecting with each other. When the kids leave, you don't know how to connect. Connection
You've
is
lost that.
poor. You've lost it. And then it's repairable, but it takes a lot of energy, and often they're out.
Wow. And so when you say that, it seems like such common sense.
Yes.
However, it's really nothing that's talked about, and
No.
how important it is that you took your experience of people in the latter years of their relationship and took a step back to say, I wonder how this could be solvable.
Yeah, and
It's
I mean,
brilliant.
it's so solvable if we simply address the sort of the what do you call it? The what you call it under the rug. kind of thing. I'm lost my word on that. But it's the no, what is it? It's the ghost in the closet. That's not it. Anyways,
It'll
what is obvious
come to
now when you
you.
think about it? Because we can help you learn how to do marriage and family together. It's learnable, it's doable, it's far more enjoyable. And so that had me then eventually step out of the marriage and family hourly client space and into a space where I said, I just said, we need to get this to the masses. Only 3 to 4% of people ever seek a counselor. This is bigger than that. And so I took what I knew from therapy and I wrote a course that is a year's worth of therapy, teaching ex just the really core communication and connection skills. You need both. And said, we have to look at, I talk about in terms of DNA, we have to look at changing your family DNA. You have to know what your desires are. What do you want this marriage to look like in 15 or 20 years? Because it's starting now. Okay. Or what do you want the conversation with your 5-year-old to look like when you're done with it? Okay. What do you want that family vacation to look like? If you don't know what you're going for, you don't get anywhere.
But true is that in any goal situation, you have
Yes.
to know what your destination is,
Yeah.
but we don't really apply that thought process to our relationships, do we?
No, I think often people say you're just supposed to just go and do it. It's innate. And it's innate in that you're going to copy what you know and what you lived. But there are better ways to do things often. My upbringing wasn't bad, but there were upgrades. Again, my parents didn't talk enough about things that were happening, especially in high school. I would have been better off with some honest conversations. Not cruel
In
conversations, just informational
honest.
conversations.
Sure. And so young families, they're quite often they're two income families, so that both parents are working, either both working full time or one working full, one working part time, depending upon the situation, but they're both employed outside of the household. So the normal pressures of raising a family are great and managing all of that. And I can see where their relationship gets set to the side, because if you're putting things into a priority, the priority is who makes dinner, who's going to read the kids' story before bed, did they get a bath? And I'm exhausted. Now I need to go get ready for bed so I can get up and do it all over again. And the couple's communication really does suffer for that.
It does until we really help the couple say, what are we wanting from this phase in our life where we're both working? What do we want? And one of them's going to be survive. Okay. But another one
Together.
might be, I would like to be able to still laugh with you from time to time. Another one might be, I feel like we need a sort of a better balance of where our energy goes. You have a more physical job. You're a nurse or something more, I want to say outside on the grounds working. I have a more mental job. But maybe we have to flip that over so that I get more body movement at home and you have more intellectual time, if you want to call it that. I think a nurse is going to be overstressed no matter what she does or he does.
That's kind of true,
But
probably.
maybe we just sort of have to talk about how do we use our brains and how do we want to do that at home? Do we want to, you get Tuesdays and Thursdays, I get Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays we hire a sitter if we can, or grandma comes over. But if we don't talk about it, we default. And even, we don't even talk about the default. We talk about what are we deciding to do, even if it's by default.
What do those conversations do? What do you see the changes that happen when you initiate those conversations?
The couple doesn't feel so alone. They don't feel like they're here. All of a sudden they've turned and they're here. Oh, you'll help
Oh, I
me?
love that analogy.
You see how you said,
Oh.
oh, you'll help me? Well, I thought you wanted to do dishes. I thought you wanted the kitchen quiet and by yourself. I never want to do dishes, honey. Ever. Never. Oh, okay. But though that's information. And if we don't talk about it, okay, one of my kids for a good period of time took their kids' clothes out of the laundry, and these are 3, 4, and 6-year-old kids. Put the laundry basket down, gave the kids three bins. Pull your clothes out of the laundry basket, put it in your bin, bring it to your room. That was the end of laundry. There was no folding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But mom and dad had to talk about they have to learn how to fold their clothes. And one person said, don't care. They will figure out how to fold their clothes when it matters. But right now, it's Old Navy, Target. Pull it out, put it on. Leggings don't care if they're folded.
No, they don't.
They
Thank
couldn't
goodness.
care. But that became a solution after they talked about it, and it took the pressure off. Because now
There's
he
a
had.
there is a lot of unsaid pressure without a conversation. And I think that this is really true no matter where people are in their relationship, number one,
Yeah.
right? But
Yeah.
how important it is before they start to grow apart. Because once that growth happens, then also the commonality of activities also dwindles as well. So they have one person might be interested in this, the other person's interested in this, and then that builds on each other so that by the time the kids are teenagers, people are really going in two different directions.
Yeah, we call it the D seeds of divorce. And there are these D words that begin to infiltrate. And when they start to move into your relationship, there should be a pause and a thought of time to pull the D. So when there is disgust, when there's dislike, when there's disgruntled, or dismay, or disinterested, all of those are components. We'll cover it by saying, I'm just a little depressed. But if we pull out from depressed, we hear these words. And those
Well, that's
are words
interesting.
that we are feeding into our divorcing space.
What great tips for people that are listening to have these words ever come into your space,
Yeah.
into your headspace, or into your conversations, or your conversations with a friend talking about your relationships with your significant other.
Yeah, because we can move those words. Now, if you want the others, what do? We change our attitudes and our actions, and we move into a cooperation. Yes, I can. Yes, I will. We move into compassion. Oh, you're too tired. Just stop already. Okay, let's put that pan in the dishwasher and let it run twice. Okay. So there's cooperation, there's compassion, there's consideration. What will happen to my spouse if I do this? Is that worth the, sort of the emotional money? And so there's consideration. And we sort of look at a lot of C words that often help us see things better.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so what do you see in the difference of the kids as the parents work through this?
Oh, well, kids follow their parents. If the parents are distressed, the kids are distressed. And they may not show it to you, but they follow their parents. And parents like to think, oh, those kids are resilient. It doesn't matter. No, those kids are learning how to tunnel. Okay, they're learning how to live internally. They're learning how to shut up. They're learning how to put on a cold face. Okay, is this good living? No. At least not in my world, not when I'm looking for a healthy adult 15 years from now. So the kids may become very quiet, but the kids often, because especially when they're little, I'm going to give them without much language. So 5 and younger, they're going to cry more. They're not going to want to go to bed. They're not going to want to eat, or they're overeating. They're going to want that show and want to just live into their little tablet. Because life outside their mom and dad aren't feeling very safe. And it just breaks your heart. These little kiddos are.
Because they're in their own way, without words, they are communicating through action.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even in adults, communication is 85% nonverbal. So,
Really, that high?
yes.
Wow.
Words
Wow.
matter, but if your words don't match your actions, your actions are what people are going to remember, not your words.
Interesting. 85%. Wow.
Some people will go to 80, but it runs right in that. And some people will break it up into three categories. Just know that how you are behaving, how you look, how you sound, all plays into things.
And so then, as the parents start having conversations together, either privately or in an open area, like where the kids are located, where they might not be in the conversation, but they're listening, they're paying attention. The kid's behavior starts to change and evolved.
As the parents calm down, the kids calm down. Now they might be 6 weeks behind because they got to test out whether or not mom and dad are real. What, who is that couple? Right? Like, I give
Okay,
them
so I think
permission.
that's important to state. Okay, we talked today, the kids aren't any better. So it's going to take more than a day to fix this.
Well, because you have their brain pathways have to calm down. They have to figure out, their body has to figure out how to not run cortisol and adrenaline all the time and be on edge. And that takes time for that brain and that body to think that this is safe enough to just run that. You only need to turn those hormones on when there's actual danger. And it just takes a while for brain and body. We usually say 3 months for that to really become a habit where kids will feel really safe. So mom and dads have to stay with
Well, it's going to take a while for a mom and dad to, or what, however, whatever the parental pattern is. It's going to take a while for those two people to create a new habit of communication.
Yes, it is. And that's where both. I'll do a gentle nudge. That's where my program will help coach you and coax you through it, both by good learning, but also by having me as your coach for each module that happens. So we
Great
help
segue,
you
because I was going to ask you to explain
integrate
your program a little bit more. So
that.
let's get into the program. So
Okay.
you say it's a 1 year course, and break it down a little bit for us so we understand what's entailed in the program, please.
Yes, thank you. The program is based on learning personal skills and communication skills at the same time. And so we're going to start with, we have eight video modules that are between 25 and 32 minutes long. And they're going to teach you through the process, you watch them in order, how to attach, how to manage your own emotional self. Because if you fly off the handle, you break the attachment, then whatever you say or do in action isn't going to have positive effect because you've broken the attachment. So you have to get your own self under control, keep the attachment together. Now we can help you learn how to speak well, how to listen so that it's accurate. It's not listening to the voices in your head, it's actually listening to their voices. Right?
Harder than it sounds.
Absolutely. Oh, we have to learn the value of touch and how to use it well to enhance communication and connection.
So
And
you're
then
hitting all the senses.
all of the senses, we have skin all over us. Have you ever checked? Every piece of it has a neuron attached to it. Why do we have so many neurons on our skin? There's a reason for that. So there's that. But so what we're doing in those first five modules is we're teaching people how to talk to each other, the adults, but also the same language for parenting your kiddos. Same language. It's one course. It's going to enhance your marriage and your parenting. You're going to be on the same page with both of them.
That's interesting. So if you're changing the conversation between the two adults, it's equally as important to adjust or modify your conversation to the kids.
Absolutely. Yes, and be on the same page. Okay. Why?
Together.
It's a DNA. What are your desires? What do you want that conversation with? My 3-year-old never wants to put his shoes on. I'm mad about it. Okay, what's your desire? Kiddo puts his shoes on by himself. Well, let's find out why kiddo doesn't put his shoes on. Let's just find that out. I mean, I had this with a grandkid last summer, was don't want to wear those shoes. Finally looked at him and I said, "What's the matter with these shoes?" He says, "My pinky toe can't fit."
Well,
Oh. They didn't look bad, but apparently they didn't feel good on his feet and he didn't like them.
but if
Well,
you didn't ask, you wouldn't have known. It was
right.
just contentious
Yes.
moments trying to put them on. Because the kids aren't going to necessarily bring up why.
No, they don't dare. Mom and dad are, get your shoes on.
Right.
And
Right.
so they don't dare. Okay, so now we're going to go a little farther down. The last three modules are about problem solving, and conflict resolution. We're going to teach you and talk about how to honor, protect, and equip, when to use each one of those skills, how to apply them for kiddos as well as with adults. And then we're going to teach you about how to use benefit of the doubt. When do we give grace? Instead of filling in the story that I don't know with my own story, how do I just sit with that story with unknowns and say, I'm going
Oh.
to believe and trust? Back in the day, my husband's an attorney. Attorneys work many hours. Nowadays, he can work from home if he wants to, but back in the day, there wasn't internet. If he was going to stay at work, he stayed at work. Okay, I had to trust he was at work. I was at home with two or three or four kids. Okay, I can fill in the gaps when he's working until 10:30 for the fourth night in a row. I can fill in those gaps with ugly things, or I cannot. And that is benefit of the doubt.
Ah, and trust is a two-way street.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, because you could see based on how he would talk, but you could also see in his bonus period how much he worked, what actually he actually billed for. That sort of told the story. It wasn't real hard to figure out. Okay. And
But
then we're
still,
going
no
to.
matter, even if there's plenty of money coming in the household, there can be that question of what were you doing when I wasn't there?
But therein, if you have done the other work consistently, and you have kept that attachment really strong, the connection between you, then the trust usually rolls with the bumbles of life. But the connection is always going to matter in terms of how the rest of the communication rolls.
It's interesting. And then these communication skills also are learning them when the kids are younger. As the kids become older and become more independent, there's more space to fill for the adults to fill for themselves.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
And now I can see, though it made sense when you said it, but now I can even picture or see more clearly the importance of the work that you're doing at the early stages of marriage and kids.
Yeah, and because we're building a healthy marriage that's going to last. So now they're going to be good grandparents. Makes a huge difference in the raising of children. But also our next generation of kids have been raised well. They've been raised honestly. They've been raised with compassion. They've been raised with cooperation, how to give and how to take. They've been raised with how to speak for themselves and how to give generously when they need to.
Do you ever find, I don't even, they say you should never ask a question you don't know the answer to, but I'm going to ask a question and I don't know the answer to this. And
We'll see what I
but I
know.
know, but I think you would probably know that. Do you ever find that parents, so they've developed this communication and they're working on developing their communication and they can, and it changes how they parent. It also could free up more time as parents because they're being more efficient as a unit. Do you ever find that they just don't, especially with all these ridiculous social media things that we have, they don't know how to be with their kids and how to play and how to make time for play with their kids?
Yes, they don't know how to, but I would blame it less on social media, some of that, but some of that is also they're just doggone tired.
Oh, yeah. I like to blame everything on social media, so I get that.
So we can blame it on social media, but years ago when parents were doggone cut tired, they still ignored their kids. Their kids just played with Legos or drew or went outside and didn't show up until 8 o'clock at night. Either way, we would like the parents to engage a bit more. I'm not after like a hovering parenting kind of thing, a helicopter thing. I'm after an engaged parent who knows their child well enough to know when that kiddo just needs some space and when that kiddo is being quiet because they're lonely. It's different.
Yes, I can see that. And this is where And I'm going to get to the outdoors with your grandkids because I know that that's really what makes your heart sing.
It
And
does.
because you just don't talk, you talk about it, you walk the walk and quality time with the kids. And this is also where they getting outside with your kids makes such a difference too.
Well, it does. Just if we read some of the studies, I have a daughter who homeschools, and when I had to take over homeschooling for a week because she was gone, that was a new deal. But the instructions were 10 minutes outside in the morning, either before or after breakfast, but never start school without them being outside for 10 minutes. And then she throws this brain study down in front of me about being outside and how much it resets your brain so that everything, so that your circuitry is nothing's exploding and nothing's flat. It's all just sort of generally working in a flow that will help for learning, but also will help with the courage it takes to learn something new.
Oh,
I know,
how
right?
so?
Well, you're in
Yeah.
school.
Right, but how does that help?
How does the being outside help? Nope.
Help with the courage of learning something new.
It keeps the cortisol and the adrenaline down so that the learning piece of your brain, your emotions in here, your learning parts are stay around here. Thank you, Dan Siegel from Whole Brain Child. But if we become frightened, the logic blows up, and we just take care of the fear. Outside, when we go outside and we breathe some fresh air and we move our body and we see that everything's still connected, our brain calms down. And now our ability to reason and to learn stays connected to our emotions that can say, this is fun. I dare try that again. Does that make sense
Interesting.
to you?
Yeah, no, it totally does. That's really
Yeah.
interesting. I really enjoy how you put that. That's so clear.
And so, even when our kiddos are frightened about learning something or about doing something, or even, the one with the shoes, their brain has done this. The emotions are now exposed because the logic and the reasoning has sort of flipped its lid. It takes about 20 minutes for adrenaline and cortisol to settle out if we stay calm. These guys come back down, they hug your brain. Look at, you're not punching, you're hugging. Okay, now we're all connected. And now we can talk to that kiddo about what's the matter with that shoe. Okay. We can talk to them about, let's look at what they're asking you to do with those numbers again. But we have to be connected. Kiddo's brain and adult brain.
Interesting. No, that's incredibly interesting. And so that came from, you said Dan Siegel. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Dan Siegel, I believe it's
Siegel.
Siegel. He writes many books, but the one that I'm drawing from is called The Whole Brain Child. A fascinating book. Every parent should read it if you've got littles in the house, because it explains what's happening to brain development. We aren't born with an adult brain, we're born with a kiddo brain. And we are growing neurons like they're blowing up. But those neurons have to create pathways. And how we parent and the experiences we give our kids and the fears we give them, as well as the encouragement or the safe places, help those brains develop.
Interesting.
And so in our little kids, Dan Siegel will say, his research will say, our kiddos before 3 or 4 don't have any logic and reasoning. These are floating around here with nothing really attached, which is why they throw temper tantrums. They've got nothing to cover their emotions and say, "Dear honey, it's okay." And so that's what moms and dads are supposed to do. Don't be
To
mad.
cover that for them.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that sweet? I just think it's just
It
really
is.
sweet.
It is. And so going back to what you're saying before, because if mom and dad aren't showing up authentically in their relationship or their relationship in total as a household, they're not able to cover those and provide that support that those three-year-olds really need.
And there, the kiddo learns how to stuff his emotion, how to sort of become passive aggressive. Okay, I'll cooperate here, but over here, I won't. I will intentionally splash all the water out of that tub. I will walk by and hit my sister. I didn't hit my sister. Those kinds of things. So, yeah.
And we've all seen those. We've all done those, and we've all seen those.
Don't tell anybody.
And so for you, and you, in order for you to show up for your clients, and also in order for you to show up for your grandkids, because you have a very active role in caring for your grandkids,
I do.
and how fortunate it is for them.
Yes.
And yeah. And so how does the outdoors play a part for you? What does it do for you?
We have more fun outside. So I'm fortunate enough to live on a lake and to have a boat and to have grandkids that like to swim. But bringing the boat out in the middle of the lake and diving with them and seeing ones who can go deep enough, seeing ones who can swim around the boat faster, watching the little ones sit on the platform and then they've got their life jacket on, thankfully, right? But then they're jumping to me and, becoming braver and braver and putting their head under the water. Those things are just fun. When we learn how to ski together and we race each other down the hill and and I give a tip about, well, when you fall, if you face this way instead of that way, you can get up on your snowboard easier. There are just some
There's
things
truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that.
there's a lot of truth to that. So that playing builds trust, and playing with your kids always builds trust if it's done kindly. It builds trust. It lets me be genuine. And I'm not always like parenting, then we're just playing. And it lets the kids be kids.
Have you always been active?
Yes, I have been.
This is really interesting because, to be honest, when you become a certain age, the number of people that are active starts to dwindle. And what, how so has remaining active been so important to you as now that you're of a grandparent's age, of a certain age?
Well, it's important because I want to do the things I want to do. I have had a severe shoulder injury where they said, well, you might not throw a ball. You might not reach behind your back. You might not ever be able to brush your hair all the way down. And I just looked at them and said, I don't know what age you think I am, but I'd like to tell you I'm 32. I was not 32. I was a few years older than that. But I told them I'm 32. Now fix it like I'm 32. But that's sort of been my attitude towards things. And thankfully, my body has cooperated. Not everybody's does. But it's the staying active that lets me be active. This if
It's
I were to stop and start and stop and start. So I do very intentional high energy workouts, but it's so that I have the stamina and the muscle reaction and tone to be able to be pulled up by a boat, to be able to manage if I fall on my snowboard. I have to have my muscles connected well enough so that I don't fall apart.
Right. And that's really important. It's all about doing the work.
Yes.
What does your exercise routine look like?
A small plug. I'm an Orange Theory fitness girl, and that's a high intensity workout. And I do that twice a week. And then I have friends who, like me, like to walk faster than what we run. So I walk very fast.
That's me too. I don't have very walking partners because I walk fairly quickly. My running game is not, it never has been, but boy, can I walk quickly.
So, and then that leaves me to having the fun in the water or on the snow or whatever. But I don't use those as my workout spaces. I use those as my play spaces.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, and I'm glad you mentioned it because it is important that maintenance piece to make sure that if you want to be active to do the fun things, you have to, especially when you're north of 50 and north of 60, that six number really requires maintenance
It requires maintenance. Yes.
consistently.
Yes, and that part's true. It's a consistent factor. But the other thing I'm going to say is that it's worth it. I can't tell you how many friends who say, oh no, I don't do that anymore. And I'm like, I would be so bored, just so bored. And confused because me is active. Who am I if I'm not? I don't then I don't know me. No.
Yeah, it is important to be able to take advantage of the time that you have to be ready and prepared so that you can snowboard and do those things.
Yes, exactly.
Jan, it's been a pleasure. And so how do people get in touch with you?
Very easily. The first thing I'm going to say is that the easiest way to do is to just write me at Jan at Us and Kids. It's an email. Okay. It's not terribly interesting, but if you write me and say, hey, I heard you on, oh, shoot, forgot the name of your podcast.
Discover rising tides.
Yes, Discover Rising Tides, and I'd like to learn more or know more, then I'll just send you the links and you don't have to go hunting. Okay.
Okay.
If you want to go hunting, then go to usandkids.com.
Perfect.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah, so Jan, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I appreciate your time and your insight and helping young families. And hopefully, we'll talk again.
I would like to do that too. Good. Thank you so much.
Thank
And
you.
have a good visit wherever you are.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening today. Today's show is sponsored by Seaside Solutions, my financial services company. As a business owner, it's easy to be pulled in many different directions, and often taking care of yourself plummets to the bottom of the list. For me, I find myself outside to reground. My time outdoors helps me manage my day more effectively and be more present for my clients. Through this, Discover Rising Tides was born. At Seaside Solutions, we truly believe that education is the foundation of financial wellness. Our primary focus is to provide guidance that is designed to help you achieve your long-term financial goals and visions. Working with a plan allows space for doing more things that you love, like being outside to make the inside better. If I can help you create or realign your plan, or if you would like to be added to my weekly newsletter, please let me know. This week's topic was 5 ways to set more achievable goals. Your referral means the big, beautiful world to me. And if I can help, please let me know. And thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.